Alrighty, Playhouseville, welcome to another exciting episode of Playhouse Unplugged. Man, I got the really funny and zany Zachary Bland in the studio with me today. What's up, Zach?
Hey, how's it going, buddy?
Hey, I am doing great. Now, you have a nickname, right? It's called No Sauce. Where in the world did that come from, my friend?
So it's actually not that crazy of a story. When I worked at the Kerr Bar and Grill over in Meridian, it was actually one of the first big cooking jobs that I got into. I started off as dishwasher prep, and I went from there. But as my last name is Bland, my chef called me No Salt, No Seasoning, and then it came to No Sauce, and so he used to call me Mr. No Sauce, and it kind of just stuck. I actually planned on changing my last name to Ordinary instead of Bland because I think that Zachary Ordinary kind of flows off the tongue a little bit better than Bland does. But actually, my original last name was Rhodes, but I was adopted by my dad, who I have now, which is funny because my biological father's name is Chet, and his name is Chester. And I was like, Mom, where's the difference in the name here? Like, I was like, I love you, but what's up? But the two same names, like, you can't throw a stone out your house and find a Chet, let alone find two in two different states. But right. And so I was adopted. My last name became Bland, and then it came No Sauce, and it just, I like to go by it. It just feels different, and it's unique, and people like No Sauce. And people are expecting some crazy story, but it's the most simplest, just somebody called me No Sauce and it just became that.
That's awesome, man. And of course, you're definitely no ordinary person. You're a very unique person yourself. So it fits really well. How did you get into acting in the first place?
Growing up as a little kid, my mom and dad, when they got divorced, one stayed in Nevada and one went to Wyoming. When I moved there in Wyoming, I wasn't a part of like the cowboy crowd. I wasn't a part of different other things going on. I was this weird, goofy white kid, and I couldn't sit still in class, and I was always getting in trouble, and I was always doing voices and drumming along and all this stuff. And instead of getting sent to detention, actually, I had a teacher send me to drama club, which was right across over the 7th and 8th grade building because we were in the 6th grade building. An old building had these elevators that didn't work, but the handicapped kids can still work on them. But, like, I was like, what is going on here? Like, this is crazy. Anyways, so she sent me there, and it was the first drama class that I was ever in, and they gave me a role of this couple that visited this mansion that was like Frankenstein and there was monsters. I vaguely remember it. I was just a kid, but it was just a quick role and it was super fun and I loved it. And then I hopped on to other roles. I was like this lawyer who kidnapped these chickens in this weird class. And then I hopped into this one where I was a part of the Blues Brothers and we did this thing called Dueling Nostrils where we blacked out everything and me and the other guy, my friend Isaac, we just did this cool little jig and we did this dance and we talked like the Blues Brothers. And then all the lights went out and we had these flashlights, these little ones that shined on our nostrils, and he was the banjo and I was the guitar, and then and it just went to this whole thing. And I just kind of picked it up and I started doing stuff in high school, and then I moved and I didn't get into it until I was actually here. But it's just crazy. The road that I took was just by chance, and I fell in love with being in front of the crowd. So
that's excellent. And wow, I didn't know about lawyer with chickens. I'll get more into that a little later on.
I don't remember if I'll have to like relook. at what it was. It's so long ago, I can't remember the name.
But I wish my teacher sent me to drama class, because I was ADD when I was growing up too as well, going into school. And I'm the one who got sent to detention, though. There's no recommendation of drama for me, but I wish I would have done that. And it would have been real exciting. So what was your first experience outside of high school in theater?
As far as theater goes, it wasn't anything as up until actually here. Moved to Boise and I was couch surfing and I really didn't have any direction going on, and I met some people and we played shows in a band and things like that. So I was on stage still, but I wasn't anything as far as acting goes. And I was sine waving just out here on the corner. Yeah. If you're here in Boise, Fairview, Milwaukee, Liberty Tax Service, I'm the guy who spins the sign. Holla. I walked by and I was like, I knew this was a hookah joint at one time. Now it's a drama club. Like, what's going on? I saw that you had auditions, and that's when I came in for Passions, Pastas, and Pistols. And that was the first thing coming back. Like, I was kind of homeless. I didn't have anything going for me. Didn't have much. And then you guys kind of took me in, and I was like, okay, like, I missed this. This was a part of my life. Why did I give this up?
Right.
So.
Right. That's excellent. And so when you you know, you said you didn't get into theater, did you get into kind of improv or anything like that? Or did you just stumble upon that too as well here?
When I was a kid, I used to stay up late at night watching Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Great show, yeah.
And then I went on to Adult Swim. So, like, it was 11 o'clock was when a half an hour and then another half an hour, so an hour block of Whose Line Is It Anyway? And then it went into Adult Swim, which started off with, like, Futurama, Family Guy, King of the Hill, all those good shows. So I used to watch it, and I was like, man, I would love to do improv acting. I love to do improv acting because at that time I was a kid, was in drama class, and I loved it. I loved just being inspired, and I was like, oh, maybe I'll never get into it. Maybe I'll never get into it. And then being here and kind of honing some sort of acting ability again kind of just made me be me again. And so when you say you have improv going on, I was like, I can pretend to be everything. I'm just weird and zany. I do it all the time at work. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. I love to just be weird. And I feel like this is my niche. So I came in, and obviously now I'm here.
And I tell you, you're being really modest. I mean, everybody who's seen Zach do his thing on stage, man, he is just amazing at what he does. He transforms character really well. What do you really love about doing improv?
Really just that. I love being funny. When I was a kid, I was kind of a class clown, but I was super shy, and I never really got into, like I said, as much. I was in drama class, but I never opened up. I didn't have a lot of friends, not a lot of friends who like to do these things. So it was hard for me to, like, hop into things. I was nervous, but
right.
When I got older, it just became this thing. And that's one thing I love about acting is that I can finally just go up, be myself. And it's not like I'm at work and people are like, you're weird, but I like you. It's like, I appreciate that, but, like, I'm waiting for the applause here. Like, like, you know, it's the same thing, like, trying to get my hand in stand-up. I've tried a little bit. I want to try again. It's been a while, but it's a different kind of environment, too, because standing and talking and trying to make somebody laugh versus being a zany character or a serious character and just switching personas is completely different. It's a different realm. But that's what I like, because I like to be able to also try. Like, do you know how hard it is to be able to do one thing and then transform it to another thing while keeping this intact? That's what I love about improv, is you don't know which direction it's going to be. What is your perception of it, and how are you going to be able to make other people see that?
Right.
And I love that idea of it. So sorry.
No, this is what we're about here, man. No worries. Ramble on. That's definitely what we're looking for. We're looking to get deep in why you like it so much. So obviously here at the Playhouse, we're very immersive. When you're doing shows, especially improv based, you know, how do you like that compared to just straight improv?
When we're doing
combination of theater and improv, when we do murder mysteries.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
No worries.
I was like, was that the same question?
That's I guess my, I'm not my, the I'm not no, the ADD guy. I'm not the only ADD guy in the house right
my
now.
My brain did perceive it a little differently. That's the thing is I love about the murder mysteries versus the improv is improv, you're everything. You can be anything. It's open world. It's like playing a video game where you have a path, and you have a path, and you have a path. Yeah, you can go do different things upon this path, but in an open world video game, you can stop and smell the roses while you're still on the way to save the princess. But when it comes to the actual improv of, like, our shows and our theater, I've always been one, you know, you got to rehearse your lines, and I haven't done one of those in a long time, which I'm good at memorizing stuff, and that's not the point. I like the fact that even though you have one night where your character can say this, you can still say another thing and still continue on the same guidelines. So it's not forcing you to stay in a certain bubble. you can still venture, but at least you have an idea of what you're doing. So just in case if something happens or something goes on, you get clammy or something stupid happens, you could at least still remember the guidelines, you know, depending on what your day goes on. And that was actually in one of our shows when we had a murder mystery show last year, the Killer 80s Prom, right?
Yeah.
One day before our show, I had to work, attend a funeral, and then come here.
Wow, I didn't even know that.
Oh, I thought I told you. Yeah, no. And, you know, and he was a good buddy, and he ended up passing away, you know, and it was just, you know, that day I was at work, and I'm just anxious to go to this funeral, and then I go to this funeral, and, you know, the father, the priest, I don't know, I'm not a church guy, but he says if anybody wants to come up and say anything, and it was like a hot minute, it felt like, it was probably 30 seconds, but it felt like forever, and I stood up, and, you know, and me being the person who I am who can just talk.
Right.
You know, just gave this great speech, and people were crying, and people were like, dude, thank you. Thank you, Zach. And it was like, and then I came here, and then I was a drug addict kid in high school. Oh, and that's the whole point is like, you know, we have these things in life, but to be able to do these things is completely difficult. And people who can do it, you know, hats off to them, you know. I know that I'm not the best. I know that I'm not the worst.
Right.
But I'm never going to compare it because at the same time, there's techniques that other people have that I don't.
And I learned from, right?
And yeah, exactly. And I love looking up and learning, and the respect that they give me in return just makes everything. It's like us a whole family, and that's what I love.
And of course, we really work hard to keep us a positive environment and have really high-level actors. How do you feel like when you work with professionals? Obviously, you're a professional. You get paid for what you do. How do you feel working with other professionals?
When I first started, it was there was not as many people I felt like was involved. And then when I came back, it was like after a year or two, I think, you remember,
because
I had kids.
I'm
everything.
Talking about now. Yeah, back
but,
then.
But now, that's exactly. But yeah. I'm saying now,
yeah.
It is completely different because there are so many different types of people. And it reminds me of kind of like being in high school drama class. And I'm just like, okay, cool. You're that person. I know how it is. Like, you're this person. I know how it is. But at the same time, knowing that and respecting that still makes things great because you could at least get along and do that. Because a lot of people don't – it's like, I am this person. And this is who I am. And people don't understand that, especially coming from a professional actor because, yeah, we are who we are. There's a facade sometimes. There's a block sometimes. We are a very strange breed. So as
yes,
far as every actor goes, you never really know who that person's going to be. You're going to see me who's blah, 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 and then you're going to see somebody who's very kind of put together and just kind of like serious and like everything they say is just like, oh, my God, this dude is dumb. But that person at the same time you can still respect because you give them the same respect. And that's what it is. It's just intense.
Excellent.
Sorry. I'm right.
No,
crazy.
Again, no apologies. We'd love to hear you. So when you talk about, obviously you've worked with people in the past, you know, even here as we were building our theater, you know, we were working through and finding out the real professional actors. What is one of the best things that you love about working here at the Playhouse?
A lot of it is the environment. When I come in here, it's very rare that it's a high stressful place. Like it is sometimes before a show if there's something that's going on. But I mean, that's natural and normal. But coming into environment, especially into improv, where we're all just goofballs, it's nice because it's hard to be a goofball all the time. And then people are just like, Zach, you're a goofball. I'm like, I know, Zach, what are you doing? I'm being a goofball. I'm still getting things done, but I'm being a goofball. But here I'm just like, hey, you're a goofball. I love you. And it's like, thank you. You're being a goofball. We can relate to being goofballs. We can just play off of each other. And I love it. I love it. And that's one thing with all of our actors, too, is no matter what show we're doing, we can get into these characters and play off each other. And it's beautiful, man. It's so beautiful.
It's beautiful. I'll tell you what, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back with Zachary Bland. Hey, all, this is Danny B at Playhouse Unplugged. I want to thank everybody who came out and enjoyed our opening day right here at the Playhouse on May 30th with Mission Improvable. We are glad to be back, and it was a great time with all our performers and our patrons. Don't miss the next fun night on June 18th as Mission Improvable returns. Go to PlayhouseBoise.com for all the details, and we'll see you there. Alrighty, Playhouseville, we are back once again to Playhouse Unplugged with the one and only Zachary Bland. And the crowd just goes nuts, hey, Zach. So we're talking about, obviously, when you were before the break, how you really like enjoy working with professional actors and how everybody gels together and comes together as characters and how you work off each other really well. Tell me a little bit about being in character for a long time as we do here, sometimes 3 hours.
It really depends on the night, actually, to be honest with you. And I feel like that might be, kind of a common answer, maybe. Because some nights you're just rocking and rolling, and some nights are hard to put into that character. And a lot of it is when you interact with different people every night, you never know what they're going to say to you. You never know what curveball you're going to get. You never know if, they're going to say something that's going to really put you in a bad place. Because sometimes, we're all human. So I think it really depends on the night. It's difficult, but some nights are better than others. I remember one time when we were doing the 80s night prom, one mm-hmm. of those ones, because it was also recent, when we went to the fancy place. What is that?
Chateau de Flore.
Thank you.
Yeah. or Chateau de Flore.
Chateau. this one lady was just super into me all the night, and she was giving me her bracelets and stuff like that, and like, she's just like trying to get me to break character. And I was like, what are you talking about? What character, man? I don't know what you're talking about, dude. Like, you're crazy, lady. You're cute and all, but it was like, character, man, this is who I am, dude. You know, you got to find ways to not break it. But it's super fun, too, because, like I said, when somebody throws you a curveball, how are you supposed to come back at that?
Yeah, that's true. That is so true. And there's a lot of times, obviously, here in the Playhouse, where you're really getting thrown curveballs and you have to stay in character. How do you like working with the audience in here?
It's actually amazing. Growing up in drama class and drama club and doing plays, you never interact with the audience. So when I first came here, when we did Passions, Pastas, and Pistols, which was one of my first shows here, being a French dude and holding my character, and never really been a French dude. It was like, okay, let's try this on, and I rolled with it, and it was super fun. Like, it's working with them. It's just the curveballs, what they're gonna say, what they're gonna do, what they're gonna throw at you, and just you have to be the suave, pompous, French dude, and you have to hold it, and you interact with these people, and you got to stay like. Yeah, when you're in France and they're obviously not in France with the audience, they're American, like trying to cross those two boundaries together and like find a middle ground.
Right.
It's impossible sometimes, and you just kind of like, whatever, and you just get over it and you just be yourself. You can flaunt away, storm away, do whatever you have to, but you can always come back,
Right.
That's the whole point too, is they're there. You can come back. But I love it. It's amazing.
So what do you, when you're in character here at the Playhouse, what's your most enjoyable experience that you've had here from the different shows?
I loved being Merciless Morgan.
That was an epic character, yes.
I loved Merciless Morgan. I also, Like Sam was cool, but once you play the villain, once you play the dead guy.
The darker side.
You never know what the other side's going to be. And, playing, from a pirate to British, I definitely feel as, if anybody knows or sees me, I'm kind of a grungy dude anyway. So, the pirate-esque kind of fits me. But I loved Merciless Morgan. I loved also when we did Speakeasy, doing the flip roles of the Inspector and Nick, right?
Notorious Nick, right.
The Notorious Nick. I like doing that, too, because it's being the dead guy and then also being the Inspector, too. It's just you have to choose the role and how you're going to play those two characters. And, I remember I was trying to, go a different way of it, and it didn't work out the way I wanted to. And I was like, okay, I'm going to choose plan B. Let's go with this. And that's the whole point of it. Improv is... You got to think of a backup inside your brain. It's got to be quick. You got to do it.
And has there ever been times where you're like, oh my God, I forgot my lines, or I don't know what I'm supposed to do next, and you kind of just wing it?
Yeah. Some of those ones I'm not really proud of. I remember those nights and it's just like, oh, why did I do that? Like, you end up just being kind of quick and you just kind of throw your stuff out there. Yeah, I caught myself.
I got editing software. They're good.
You kind of throw whatever out there, and it's hard sometimes because, yeah, you get caught up in the moment. You'll be watching somebody else's performance because that performance for that night may be different from a different night. It's about the same guidelines like we talked about, but they say something different, and it catches your eye, and it gets you, makes you laugh, or you're hooked, and then you're like, oh, it's me next? I have to do this? Well, I remember that I got to talk about this, and I remember that, like, he's going to say something like this. Whatever. Just walk away.
Yeah, and then of course here we're not judgmental. We'll say something after, say, hey man, you may miss that.
Hey.
But the thing is though, is that we teach here that once you're in character, the audience doesn't know the script, so you can't break character. So you would just continue on, right, with just being in character.
Right, yeah, and you can blurt out something and walk away and just, you can be upset about that line, but at that point in time, you're still you. Like, nobody really knows.
Because
there might be one person who is like, oh, I went and saw this last night. I'm going to invite my friends the next night. But I feel like that's kind of a rare thing. Like, nobody's
right.
Going to see a show back-to-back. Like, that's kind of weird, right?
Yeah, we've had some people do that because they're very dedicated and they bring a different person every night.
See, and I was wondering about that. I've seen that a couple times.
Yep. And they love it. But the thing is, though, if you don't break character, nobody knows.
No.
So unless they have a script in their hand, they're watching it. But the thing, we're really improv-based here. So our challenges that we face every single day with the audiences, with the characters, even when another character drops their lines and misses their cue. And so the person coming after you was a true pro because they could follow into and go right back into the regular show. It's not like a, what you call it, a snowball going downhill.
Right.
Right. So it's really great. So obviously, working with audiences is a lot of fun. And what was your experience between when you went from doing theater into doing the improv? How much of a change was that for you?
Like I said, it's like the open world video game. I have a guideline and now I don't have a guideline. It's basically going to the dog park and getting let off the leash. Like, go boy, have fun, go ahead. And I can poop anywhere I want. And then talking to the audience as well is completely different because I'm not in a certain character. I can go up, I can talk about the show, I can talk about myself, I can talk about them. Like, it's a completely open environment. And then, like I said, watching Who's Line and stuff like that and improv shows and watching certain cartoons as well, because a lot of cartoons I like to watch are kind of like improv-y. They have like moments and it's like, that's no way that's scripted, but just like thinking about that, learning about that, being the kind of this person who I am anyways, just follows into that suit. And I didn't really have a whole lot of training when it came in going into the improv. Like, and I'm pretty sure that I'm not like the best, like I said, but like I know that I have an aspect where I can hold things, but I'm still learning.
Right. And we're gonna go back a little bit because I forgot to ask this. You're obviously a father. Give us a little idea of that and how that is a challenge between doing this and also keeping it homework. Home life and then also work, all balanced.
Yeah, man. I mean, I have no problem with my lady being stay-at-home mom, and she asks, should I get a job? So if you want to, like, you can. If you're not, then that's fine too. Like, I'm fine with working. And so I work, I come home, hang out with my kids. And that's one of the reasons why I like doing the improv, is because it's doesn't take up the full length of time as far as a show. But once they get older, I know I'll be able to get into it, like when we talked about it.
Right.
Earlier.
Yeah.
Before this. But yeah, I mean, I love being able to do all this because this is the outlet that I need, and it kind of keeps my mundane routine life kind of like random. It just does something different. And like coming here, we're doing something different. Coming here and just being inspiring and creative. And sometimes, especially with everything going on in the world, the coronavirus
right.
being inside, like it's super hard because being at work and just being at home, like it is a difficult thing to do sometimes when you run out of things to do and you're all cramped up and the weather's been weird and
going
for walks. I mean, there's only limited stuff, but it's nice to have this balance. And especially with us being open again, like our last show, amazing. And I think we all needed it. We got together, we felt the energy, we felt the flow. And with our new guy, Walden, he was amazing. Walden, if you listen to this, Wendell. We love you. Wendell, sorry. Walden, I don't know why, because Walden Bland, I think that was something like that. I don't know. Wendell, you're awesome. We love you. Sorry.
That's all right. And, of course, we have a lot of great things happening. And you were just involved in the online improv that we did on Facebook Live. How was that different when you're at home compared to being here?
Man, it was weird because I know we were laggy. I was in for the first one. I went to my friend's house because my kids were still awake and they're kind of loud. I just didn't want that interruption. The second one, I was like, whatever. I'll just try and go at home. I'll stay upstairs. I'll try and soundproof what I can. But each time. The first time was weird because it was our first time. The second one, obviously, was a last time because we did two. it was interesting because the fact that we are just relying on this tiny screen and being able to hear the things being lagged, it's complicated. But the second one, I feel like we definitely pulled it off a little bit better than the first. The first one wasn't bad. The second one, I feel like was...
Oh, the first one was pretty brutal.
The first one was. It was okay. But that's okay. But that's the whole point of us being improv actors and us being actors or people in general. Not everything is going to be good. Like, you can look at anything as far as social media or TikTok, YouTube. Not everything is going to be a hit. And that sucks.
Right. Exactly.
But an attempt's attempt. What do you got?
Keep trying until it happens. Obviously, without an audience, it must have been really hard.
Oh, yeah. I felt like we did all right. Like, we were hovering between a certain amount of people on the first one. The second one, we got more. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it, too, was the advertising process. Because one lady I work with, her name is Alma, sweetheart. She's like, I was on line 7, nothing. 7:30, nothing.
That must have been the first one.
Yeah, it was. I was like, I tagged you. But it is what it is.
Yeah, that one was pretty, like I said, that was a brutal one. That was, we're trying to figure out Zoom, and we thought we had Zoom, but then realized Zoom does not work on a laptop. So, for Facebook Live. So it was like, uh-oh, and I had to run over to next door and get the desktop, and enough said. It happened great the next time.
It was still interesting, and like, it was a learning experience.
Yeah.
So it was fun.
And then we got a lot of great experience, and we got a class called Summer Class coming up. Our summer camp, excuse me, is what it's called. And we're going to be basically teaching how to be a better version of yourself, how to crush it in sales, how to, as being a better person in front of crowds, you can be able to get sales a lot easier. And of course, we're going to be doing improv as well, where Anne McQueen, our improv director, is going to be teaching that. She's phenomenal. I mean, she does such a great job. Nick Roberts is going to be teaching acting 101, and then we have Tim Schmidt is teaching immersive acting, and I'm going to be doing the confidence training and orientation. So as that is coming to fruition, we're working really hard to get a kitchen in, which is really great. And I know you're a cook, so could be
cook thing.
Yes, it could be a part. You never know. But and then we've got the patio going in. We're redoing our whole entire place. So the future looks very bright. And our shows are coming up again in the fall. So we're going to really have a schedule coming out right now, working with the production supervisor today, Nick Roberts, and we're going over all the shows that are going to be coming up. And the auditions. And there's one we're going to be doing that's going to be a lot of fun that's probably going to come in around August, is called Improv Insanity. And that's going to be an adult-oriented show. Yeah. That's going to be a lot of fun, people. So definitely do not miss that. Make sure you come and like us on Facebook and follow us as well. Follow us on Twitter. On Instagram. Like us on Twitter, all that stuff. See us on PlayhouseBoise.com. In fact, we got some really cool things that are on there now. We have actually Meet the Actors page, where you can actually go and meet the actors.
La.
Yes.
This isn't like a dating site.
And a 1-800 number that you can follow that you want to... No, I'm just kidding. Only for Nick Roberts. So. And then we got... he's looking at me. But we got... just all our private shows that we've done on the side online. Like, one of them was the Socketeer Theater, not private shows, but the ones on the side. Socketeer Theater. You got both episodes on there. Going to have a third episode. That's a lot of fun. We have all the podcasts, all these podcasts you can find on there. So check it all out there, Playhouseville, and we will see you next time. Once again, thank you, Zachary Bland.
Thank you, buddy. Everybody have a good night or day.
Yes. It is. And peace out and God bless.